Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and you know you can't turn around without running into a best of 2012 list, so we here at the Brian Lehrer Show are doing one and only one 2012 best of project. 1 week ago today, we invited you all to submit your best cell phone photo of 2012, and we got 389 photos that tell the story of this year, and now New York Times staff photographer and lens blog co-editor, that is co-editor of their blog about photography called Lens, James Estrin is back to discuss some of his favorites. And Jim, thanks so much for coming in. Happy holidays.
Same to you. My pleasure.
And listeners, you can see Jim's favorites of your pictures on our website right now. These are such great shots that some of you submitted. So I encourage everybody to go take a peek at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show for this slideshow, and you can follow along if you're there as we discuss some of these pictures. Jim, thank you for going through all 389 photos that were submitted by the deadline, which was noon on Christmas Day, and you picked your 15 favorites. I know you go through photos for a living, but where do you start when you're looking at that many shots? What are you looking for?
Well, the most important thing is content, something that I react to viscerally. Something that makes me feel something, happy, sad, you know, laugh or cry. Then I look for composition and technical aspects, but mostly it's content.
So let's start with photo number one in the slideshow. We got any number of Sandy-related photos, no surprise. This one is from Giles Clark and shows what he says is all that is left of a house on Kissimmee Avenue on Staten Island. And it's a stairway to heaven, isn't it?
That's exactly what I thought as well. I guess it ages us, huh?
Hey, kids still listen to that.
I really liked it because of the absence. It's really what isn't there that makes the photograph, as opposed to if there was a building that was destroyed. And it actually reminds me of a photograph I took for the New York Times magazine that ran on the cover from Fire Island.
And we should say, just so people know what we're talking about if they're not looking at the site, it is a stairway, a set of stairs with a banister railing on each side, but it doesn't seem to be connected to anything. It's just sitting out there. In fact, as I look at the shot, it's amazing to me that it doesn't fall over.
Indeed, yeah. No, there were, as you said, a lot of Sandy photos, and it was hard to choose. But an interesting thing is a lot of the photographs were taken by people who were volunteering.
Which makes sense. Maybe they had a little more detachment from the destroyed properties that allowed them to do that. We have Giles Clark on the phone with us. Giles, this is an amazing shot. Thank you for taking it, and thank you for submitting it.
Well, thank you very much. I was down there with Occupy Sandy Relief, and so this was just one of many shots that I took. So it was a special moment because it was this particular area that was completely destroyed by the hurricane, and this stairway sort of stood out as being symbolic of what was happening, has happened down there.
Symbolic symbolic of what for you? Destruction and devastation?
Yeah, the destruction and devastation, but also there's a little bit of hope that there could be something that comes out of it. So it was more about just capturing that moment from that aspect.
Because it's still there, and it's still sort of pointing up to the sky.
Yeah, and I did actually get to have contact with a family who lived in the house as I was down there for a couple of weeks, and there was a big fundraising drive to help them, and so out of it came a lot of community acceptance and help from it, and I think that it sort of really shows that even in these worst moments that we're able to do something, you know. Yeah. So that was why it was important to shoot that.
I'm just curious, did you take it on your phone or with a regular camera?
Yeah.
And were you looking for things to photograph, or was just this spontaneous moment?
No, I shoot a lot on my iPhone. I mean, these are all on my iPhone images,
uh-huh.
iPhone. So Yeah.
Well, thank you again for submitting and making people think and feel. I really appreciate it. And let's go on now to number two in the slideshow, if you're following along on our site. This was taken by Rob Kelly, also of the aftermath of Sandy. But this is over at the boardwalk in Seaside Heights, New Jersey. We see the sun setting and a backlit shot of the destroyed boardwalk and roller coaster, which is still sort of sitting, James, in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah, it's really a surreal view. I liked the photo a lot. It was dramatic. But I would have liked it more without the filtration, I think. It's too yellow. It's doesn't need the over-dramatization.
It's a very yellow sky. It looks like, I don't know what. It's not really a sunset because that would be more pink. So you think there was a purposeful yellowing of this to create
so.
A tint?
That's what it looks like. It looks like there was one of the filters that comes either Hipstamatic or comes with the iPhone. And I just didn't need it. You know, it had everything working for it. It didn't need any tricks.
Do you think people tend to overfilter these days, considering how easy it is on some phones?
I think so. I don't have anything against filtration outside of journalistic settings. But I think that it's become a crutch and is rapidly becoming a cliche.
All right. Picture number three is an example of taking – and we should say, despite the fact that we lingered on that question of overfiltration, that you picked that shot as one of your favorites. And
yes.
It is amazing to see the roller coaster out there disconnected from the shore, seeming to be floating or lodged in the ocean. Picture three is an example of taking advantage of a phone's feature. This comes from William Laviano. It's of a school gym in the Rockaways, which is filled to the brim with donated supplies. And we probably wouldn't get a sense of the scale if it weren't for the panoramic view here, right?
Yeah, and this is something that's become very easy to do in the last couple of years. There's a function on the iPhone and on most cameras that allow you to stitch it together immediately. It directs you as you take – it takes all of the photographs. And again, you know, in the right setting, it works really well, and this is the right setting. It gives us more information, and it's really interesting to look at.
What are the right settings? Do you have a rule of thumb in terms of when panorama pictures make sense?
No.
you know it when you see it.
I don't really have compositional rules. I have a few suggestions, but I think every rule is made to be broken. Good composition is just the strongest way of seeing something.
Absolutely. Okay, photo four from Russell O'Mara. And Jim, you wrote us the only animal photo that I chose. I believe this was on Alfred Hitchcock's phone. So would you like to describe it to us?
Yes, though I suspect it's a vertical and we're looking at it horizontally. But it
right, it's laid horizontally on our website.
Yes, it's is that a praying mantis?
I guess a praying mantis, or I thought grasshopper.
Maybe a grasshopper, but it's on an elevator on the subway.
City kids, we couldn't really tell you the difference between a praying mantis and a grasshopper, right?
No, but I could tell you who wrote the graffiti tag. And there's someone on an escalator in the background, and it's this odd view that you would normally not see. It's something you would pass by and not see.
Oh, Jody assures us it is a praying mantis. But on an elevator. An elevator in the subway? That was the location?
Escalator.
Escalator.
A Jamaica Center train station, it said.
I hope it knows how to get off.
And I was pleased that there were so few dogs and cats. People followed your instructions, but this was a good animal photo.
And why did – and there's, I guess, a woman – I'm not really sure exactly of the vantage point that this is taken from, but if it's going up an escalator – there's a woman standing at what I guess is the top. Why do you say it was something from Alfred Hitchcock's phone?
Well, it looks scary. She doesn't know what's about to happen. And this is a giant praying mantis, it looks like, because it's close up.
At least
that is probably going to devour her.
The next photo, number five in our slideshow, we'll assume that woman survived the giant or giantly shot praying mantis. On the subway escalator. Number five from Morris Staker. This is of an 11-year-old girl standing on the beach with a sand shovel in her right hand, and the photo is taken from about 10 feet away, it looks like, behind her as the girl stares out into the ocean. But you were taken by the backstory, and I want to give it, which is that this girl had been abused her whole life, she said. The photographer was serving as this girl's therapeutic foster parent, or I guess the photographer said she was abused her whole life. The photographer serving as this girl's therapeutic foster parent took her to the beach, and as she writes, she noticed the girl who had such a hard life embraced by the universe as she looked out onto the ocean. And it is a beach shot like that with ocean and sky, no yellow filter. So how much did this photo catch for you in its composition, and how much for its story did it catch your attention?
It's somewhat of both. I thought the story was really powerful. The image does suggest, you know, you're looking out, and I didn't read it as the universe embracing, but I read it as her encountering something peaceful and beautiful. And, you know, the story was part of it, but I think it's such a powerful story.
Does it help to know the story? In this case, you did know the story, and it did help. But I don't know. Not everybody gets to tell a story with a photo, or there are ways that it can be overkill or overwhelm the image.
Yeah, usually I like photographs to work without a caption or without much captioning. But and this one does in a sense. But at the same time, often the context is critical. And if you're telling a story, photographs are just one way to tell a story.
And we've got time to sneak in one more, photo 6 out of the 15 that James Estrin chose from the ones you submitted, from Michael Taylor. And you wrote us, I had passed by many rainbow photos because they are almost always predictable, but this potty at the end of the rainbow made me laugh. What are we looking at?
Well, it's so spectacular. It's a porta potty outside the desert.
So it seems.
And there's a rainbow, and the rainbow is hitting. The end of the rainbow is literally the porta potty. So instead of a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, there is a porta potty at the end of the rainbow. And as you said, I passed by every other rainbow photo, and I was certainly intending to pass by all of them.
A potty of gold at the end of the rainbow. And there we leave it with James Estrin, co-editor of the New York Times blog Lens and a New York Times staff photographer. Thank you for spending so much time and looking at almost 400 photos submitted by Brian Lehrer Show listeners and picking out some of your faves. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Brian.
And listeners, you can see the slideshow of the ones that James picked, or look deeper into the whole photo gallery of photos submitted by you that were on your phones this year. And thank you all for submitting and taking so many amazing shots. Go to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer for that, and I will talk to you tomorrow with our end-of-year news quiz.